Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It is a pleasure to be with you today. And tonight, have a very, very exciting matchup between the Memphis Grizzlies and the Golden State Warriors. A pretty impactful playoff implications matchup in back-to-back games. And for that reason, I'm very excited to welcome a guest that I've become a big fan of via the Locker Room app and his podcast, Light Years, that he's hosted, being a guy who's covered the Golden State Warriors for years, Sam Esfandiari. Sam, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm good, Sean. How are you doing?
Doing just fine. Thank you for taking the time to join us.
Absolutely. Little bummed. It does not sound like we're going to get Steph Curry tonight. So, right now he's doubtful. I don't anticipate them making a decision before the afternoon. They typically, unless someone's out, they're going to wait until, you know, kind of a couple hours before the game to give you the formal okay. But, no one sounded optimistic yesterday. They made it sound like they'd rather just sit him tonight, maybe even tomorrow, in the back-to-back just for precautionary reasons.
So there's a running joke in Memphis, Sam, that you're not going to get to see this year, but you usually see every year. The Golden State Warriors over the past decade have been the team that our season ticket holders are the most exciting to see come, because they get to scalp up their prices for all these fans to mysteriously show up in Steph Curry jerseys to come see them play. So he doesn't come to play tonight, so they don't get that spike on their investment. But yeah, it's disappointing. We'll start there and then kind of go into some other conversations. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at Stats SAC. I'll let Sam obviously give his information later in the show. But just kind of, Kelly Oubre as well, kind of a bad game Wednesday night. Some really bad luck for the Warriors from that game.
Yeah, neither injury sounds serious. But it's hard to tell what the Warriors want to do here. On the one hand, I get the feeling if we were five games left in the season and there were playoff implications on the line, that they would be trying to play through it. On the other hand, you could argue that these two games are very important. The Warriors and Grizz are bunched up in the standings, whoever wins this series probably gets the tiebreaker at the end of the season when they have the same record. So hard to say, right?
It is. And the next time that they meet actually will be at Golden State, to end the season. So I don't think that they see each other for another 2 months. But we'll go right into that, as far as the season goes. Kind of want to go back to when the Klay Thompson news broke, because y'all were hoping to get back going again with Steph and Draymond, as well as Klay coming off injuries. And then the unfortunate news broke about Klay. First off, how is Klay doing in his recovery? And when that news happened, kind of how did that change the outlook this season? And how are you feeling now, kind of as it's been, kind of a 500 record overall, despite Steph's great play?
So I was in the middle of doing a 4-hour live draft show when I found out about the Klay injury, and I was finding out details before they were going public. So I couldn't even say anything, but I was just like, it was very hard to put on a straight face and, act like everything was going to be okay, because that's obviously the worst case news. So before the injury, I believe the Warriors' perspective was, we'll get Klay back, pursue some veterans in free agency, make the number two pick, who James Wiseman, right? And kind of see where that lands. We think this can be a contender. Maybe it can, maybe it won't, but we'll know by midseason how close we are. The Klay injury changes everything. And the Klay injury happening the night of the draft and 2 days before the start of free agency really changed everything for him. So I think they put less onus on trying to chase those older potential ring chasing veterans, and more like, look, without Klay, we're not a contender, period. There's no one we can pick up for a mid-level exception who's going to, replace a max level player, right? Like, it's such is life. So they wanted to make this year about both competing for the playoffs and building for the future. They're uniquely able to do that because they own the Minnesota Timberwolves draft pick. It is top three protected, but 60% chance as of today that it conveys to the Warriors. And if it conveys at 4 or 5, I mean, that's the equivalent of tanking, right? You're getting a top five pick for not tanking. So they have been able to play both sides of it. I think what's been most disappointing for me has been I haven't seen much player development. I think James Wiseman looks worse than he did at the beginning of the season. I think some of that is on the coaching staff, to be blunt. And particularly when you see LaMelo Ball and Anthony Edwards, obviously they couldn't take Edwards because he went the pick before Wiseman. When you see those players growing and like the joy they play with and just kind of, it just feels like such a more positive experience than what's happening with James Wiseman. So that's where my major critique is. Otherwise, their record, I mean, I could argue they should have a couple more wins, but like they're about what I was expecting once I looked at the roster and saw that they'd have no Klay Thompson.
Well, and so, and we'll get into Wiseman in just a second, but we'll discuss that. So, you know, obviously Wiseman is of interest here in Memphis, and you know, with him, you know, he only played three games for the Tigers, but this being his hometown, obviously his development kind of has taken a bit of a regression. But just overall, what have you heard about James Wiseman as far as being on the Warriors? How is he adapting? We've seen a lot of the relationship between him and Draymond Green highlighted at times. Just overall, you know, how is the team impacting him, and what has been, you know, the initial impact of him on the team, both on and off the court?
So they love him, and that's not the typical you know, lip service to talk up your draft pick. Like it's genuine, and it actually stretches to Steph and Draymond Green. I know Steph liked him because he went to Steph's Under Armour camp. So there was a comfort level with him, or a knowledge of him, since he was a teenager and obviously in the Memphis area and, you know, highly touted and everything. I think it's been a rough season for him, mostly because I don't think the Warriors are utilizing him to his strengths. He has at least two moments every game where you're like, oh my God, he looks like a 7-1 Giannis, or oh my God, is that Anthony Davis, or something free, you know, that just a level of coordination and athleticism and basketball skill you're not used to seeing for a human that size. But at the same time, I watch the way the Warriors use him, and it feels like the coaching staff doesn't know what to do with him, because they've been used to having bigs like Andrew Bogut, Kayvon Looney, Zaza Pachulia, big men whose best skill I would define as being their passing. And James Wiseman, I would say that's the one offensive skill I don't think he has. Everything else, he looks like a player who could be an excellent outside shooter. The athleticism and finishing inside, like, he looks like a modern NBA big man who should be operating out of pick and roll. And the Warriors are passing it to him in the post and trying to run split cuts off of him in a way that, like, you know, they're famous for, right? But it's like he's not Marc Gasol, you know? He's not that type of player. So that's kind of where the disconnect is. I do believe the coaching staff thinks this is going to make him better in the long run. I'm just reserving judgment on it, because I see a player who they're like, they should just be watching Anthony Davis and Chris Bosh film and like having him work on, like, I'm not saying he'll ever be as good as either of those players, but like stylistically, like face up, do some of the things that they do.
Yeah. It seems like that, you know, they finally got a player at the five in James Wiseman who actually is worth featuring now, instead of just a guy who you're using to complement your other four players, and they kind of don't center. Know what to do with it. Yeah.
And I mean, to be fair, Steve Kerr has, I think this gets lost. People say Steve Kerr is a great coach, and obviously the titles and the accolades, like, he is a very good coach. There's no way around that, but he's never been in a developmental situation. He's never had a lottery pick on his roster. I mean, when he took over the Warriors roster, Harrison Barnes was the youngest player, and he was entering year three. Young, but not a rookie, right? So I think there's a massive learning curve for the coaching staff in terms of what should they even be doing with a 19-year-old who we all agree has superstar upside, but there's steps to be had. It seems like they're taking a very traditional perspective in terms of yo-yoing his minutes and kind of having him work on like the baseline fundamentals of operating out of the post, instead of a more new school perspective. Like, I, to be perfectly frank, I would love to see them do some of the things that the Grizzlies do with Jaren Jackson Jr. He's bigger than Jaren, but Jaren's got a better shooting touch than him. But like similarity, where it's like, the, you know, the Grizzlies, from what I saw, at least last year when he was playing, they weren't trying to make him into something he wasn't. They were just trying to maximize him for the skill sets he has.
I think that's a really interesting point that you bring up about Steve Kerr, and that this is a first for him, just like it is for Wiseman being in that draft lottery. And also another good point about you've really got to focus on the things that your young big is good at rather than trying to make him do things that he needs to improve on. And so I think that's a great point. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll discuss a bit more of kind of where both the Warriors and the Grizzlies are now and in the near future. Excited to let you know that this show episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the place where me and Sam interacted in regards to his Light Years Warriors podcast, my Locked On Grizzlies podcast. It's a great opportunity for you as a sports fan to be able to enhance your fandom, talk with others about the things that you love. If you're wanting to be a content creator, it's a great way to network. And if you want the opportunity to talk with some of the sports personalities that you love as well, all of those opportunities are available through the Locker Room app. Last night had another great episode of Let's Talk Grizzness, the weekly episode brought to you by the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, where I get the chance to talk with fellow Grizzlies fans, talked about a lot of different subjects. So check us out every Thursday night around 8 o'clock. But we want to remind you, just in general, to download the Locker Room app and make it a part of your daily routine. The Locker Room app, changing the way we talk about sports. Today is officially the day when the field of 64 starts in the NCAA tournament. And of course, that means it's probably one of the best times of the year to get into making a little bit of profit along with being a fan. And if you're someone that likes to wage and you know, like to bet, and that's part of your fandom when it comes to sports, we've got the number one place that has you covered, and then that's betonline.ag. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NCAA college basketball, or the NBA college basketball and the NHL are all in full swing, of course, with March Madness here. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. By using the promo code LOCKEDON, head to the website or your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Visit BetOnline today. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the radioapp.com app or wherever you get your podcast. Great, the wonderful host, Peter Bukowski, updates you on all the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. So, for those who have heard me mention the Locker Room app a few times, that's where I've come across Sam. I've been able to talk with him via his Light Years app. He is kind enough to interact with fans, with Andy Liu on the Light Years podcast, and we've discussed James Wiseman a few times. But on that Locker Room app, I also got the chance to talk with Mark Stein the other day. And I asked Mark Stein about the overall view of, you know, Ja Morant in the NBA circles, and he used the term, he was franchise saving for the Grizzlies, and it really was. Luck was involved. So I want to ask you, going back to, it got me thinking, like, when stars were picked in the past, were they considered franchise saving? So I want to ask you, that 2009 draft, when y'all got Steph Curry, of course, it's horrible for the Grizzlies because we got the beat, which was an absolute bust. But when y'all drafted Curry, did you feel he was going to be a franchise saving type player? You knew he was a legendary shooter potentially, but did you think it was going to get to the status that he's gotten, obviously, in creating one of the best dynasties in NBA history?
The short answer is no. I remember when they picked him. I was like most people. Like, I was like, well, this guy's a college legend. I don't know that he has star upside in the NBA. We just hadn't seen a small shooter translate to being more than like a high-level role player in the NBA. Now, there were people who thought he could be better than that. And once I saw him, by about his 30, you know, a third of a way through his rookie year, he really started to show those signs that, like, this isn't a, this isn't Derek Fisher. This isn't Steve Kerr or something like that. This is a guy who can be, like, the front and center face of your team. So at that point, I kind of changed my perspective. I'm like, I think this kid can be an all-star. With that said, I was thinking he could be a very good player who made some all-star teams. I did not think MVP changed the game. You know, all the just everything we associate with Steph Curry. And I don't think the most optimistic Warrior fans thought that was the case back then.
Well, and of course, you know, the great development that came with Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, that's what we as Grizzlies fans are really hoping. So I'll get your outside perspective as a very knowledgeable Warriors mind and NBA mind. Don't know how much you've got to see Ja Morant and Jaren. I know you haven't got to see them that much, neither have we. But just, you know, it is franchise saving in that we've never really had a duo like that. Your thoughts on that duo from what you've seen of them, even if it's been very little over the past few years?
I love Ja. I do agree he's franchise. He's just, I struggle with how to word this, but like, he's a guy you build around. He's a guy who players gravitate towards. It's the same things I'd say about Steph Curry. Like, it's not necessarily as important what their skill set. They obviously have two different skill sets. They're just different stylistically, but like, they both have that it factor that other players want to play with them. And I think when you're trying to restart your franchise, you know, enter a new era, finding that player is both the hardest thing and the most important thing. It's hard to, like, Charlotte, in my opinion, got that guy with LaMelo Ball. I don't know that any of us thought he would be this good, this fast, but like, Charlotte went from a team that I could not stop my remote on League Pass to the first team I search for when they're on. And that's kind of how I felt about the Grizz the last year with Ja and Jaren. I've actually watched a little less of them this year, and that's been partially because Ja was out of the lineup, and Jaren's just always out of the lineup. Or he's been out of the lineup all year. His injury, it is what it is, right? I think they have a great foundation with those two, though, because as far as I'm concerned, Jaren Jackson Jr. is like the prototype for the modern big man. He can shoot. He can defend in space. He checks every box for what you want a big man to do. And then obviously Ja strikes probably the most important box, which is like he's a lead playmaker. Every team is searching for – unless you have one, that's the first thing you're searching for. Like the Warriors have Steph Curry. They're not necessarily searching for it. But one day when Steph goes – we're going to be, you know, looking around being like, where's the next one? You know, something like that.
I think that's the perfect segue into this question that I want to get your opinion on from an outsider's perspective for the Warriors. You know, they're kind of in a balancing situation. They've got the Draymond, Clay, Steph core, who still is, you know, all in their early 30s. And I'm sure you want to do another championship run, but you also want to balance getting the future in place as well. So you've got that Minnesota pick coming up in this draft. I personally think that if y'all are looking for another star, there's not a better trio to start a package with than Wiggins, Wiseman, and that Minnesota pick if y'all really wanted to go get that star in the next few months, this trade deadline or in the offseason. Do you feel that that's the way to go to support Steph, Clay, and Draymond? Or do you think, especially if you get that Minnesota pick this year, the Warriors are going to go with that pick and basically just kind of do two different generations and see how it works out over the next few years? You still can be a contender, but you certainly are built for the future as well if you get that top pick in this draft. Is it a trade or is it keeping the pick long term?
That is the nightly topic on Locker Room or like any Warriors show, right? Like, so just to bring you into it, I would say trade for a star, but a star has to become available. One thing I do gather from the Warriors is their list of players they're willing to give up both Wiseman and the Wolves pick to assets, quite frankly, they see as a foundation for their next decade. Like, you know, they could walk away with Jalen Suggs and then also have James Wiseman. That could be their equivalent to, you know, John Jaren, to be honest, right? They think that if they're going to put those two together, it's for like a player the caliber of Giannis or Embiid or, quite frankly, players who are just not on the trade market. So that's the issue. Like, I don't know if they're willing to put that together for someone like Pascal Siakam or Zach LaVine, two excellent players who I think in a vacuum, if you put them next to the Warriors core, that would probably be enough to put you back in the mix to compete for a title. Who knows? Rest of the roster determines if that's enough to beat like the Lakers or the Nets. But I certainly think, you know, you add someone like Pascal Siakam or Zach LaVine, two completely different styles of players, by the way. to, you know, Steph Curry, who's still one of the five best players in the league. And Klay Thompson will probably be limited defensively when he comes back, but I have zero doubt in his shooting ability. Like, if anything, he's just not going to be the two-way force he once was, but he's still going to be one of the best shooters in the league. And Draymond, you know, Draymond is who Draymond is, which is a guy who fills all the gaps. And if you have two elite scorers around Draymond, he's like the perfect third piece. So the short answer is I think they should do it, but I don't know if it exists.
That's a very fair assessment, and I think it'll be one of the bigger offseason storylines going forward. But as far as storylines tonight goes, we're going to get into segment three with Sam, just kind of what he thinks about the game tonight, kind of seeing where the Grizzlies and Warriors both may have success and struggle in tonight's matchup. We've been telling you about Built Bar now for almost a year, even over a year. It's the wonderful protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on our bar, all bars. Now's the time, though, to find out which taste is the best. Built Bar has expanded its amount of taste, it seems like, every single month over the past 6 months, and it's now time for Built Bar Madness to see which taste truly is the best. In today's matchup, you've got caramel brownie or double chocolate. In my opinion, it's caramel brownie because a caramel brownie sounds so good, and it especially sounds good when it comes in a healthy way through Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com or to Bar_Built on Twitter. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar at BuiltBar.com. When you need fantasy basketball advice, it's important that you have a reliable source. More people trust Josh Lloyd, host of Locked On Fantasy Basketball, than any other fantasy basketball podcast. Follow the number one fantasy basketball podcast, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, wherever you get your podcasts. So, Sam, getting into the game tonight, obviously, you know, the big news, you know, impacting both teams, even the odds makers right now, is the availability of Steph Curry and Kelly Oubre. First off, what are your thoughts on Steph potentially playing, and what are you looking at as far as some key factors in tonight's matchup between the Warriors and the Grizzlies?
Okay, well, I'm going to go off the assumption Steph doesn't play. If Steph was playing, I would say the Warriors need to win both games. Now that we feel pretty confident that Steph's not going to play tonight, like, I mean, Steve Kerr said yesterday he's highly doubtful. So I'm just going to take that as a, you know, maybe a miracle happened when Steph woke up this morning, but probably not. I think the Warriors need to, if they can get out of Memphis with a split, that's a huge win. But now the pressure is on the Grizzlies. If you get two games against the Warriors without Steph, you should win those two. I would look out for Jordan Poole. He has really been good since he came back from the G League bubble. And he might start at point guard tonight. They play him at shooting guard, but Draymond's the de facto point guard, particularly if Steph's not in there. So it might make sense just to have Poole, because he's the player who comes closest to mirroring Steph with regards to shooting and scoring ability. Obviously, not as good. If he was, for one thing, he would be starting. But he's been electric the last couple of weeks, and he can really shoot the ball and shoot off the dribble, which outside of Steph Curry, the Warriors have no one who can do those things. And I'm just wondering if, you know, maybe no Steph Curry has the Grizz potentially, you know, easing up the same way. Like, how many times did the Spurs during the Duncan years rest guys and you think you get an easy W, then all of a sudden you're like, oh no, we're in a tight game and Patty Mills is hot now. What happened? You know, that would be the hope.
And as far as strategy goes, and then the other last question that I have for you will concern Andrew Wiggins. It seems like that when it comes to attacking the Warriors, who are good on defense, they're the number one team in the league when it comes to guarding 2-point shots, but it seems like that they are a bit susceptible at the rim. So it looks like that the Grizzlies could potentially find impact with their ability in the paint. Does that concern you as far as being, you know, a Warriors guy when it comes to the Grizzlies production in the
offensive paint? Rebound specifically has killed the Warriors, and that's where losing Wiseman hurts too. Like, he's not a prolific rebounder at this point, but 7-1 is 7-1. And so that helps. Zubac absolutely destroyed him last week, and Valanciunas is better than Zubac. They're similar players in some ways, but like, Valanciunas he's up there with the best offensive rebounders in the league, right? So I think when you look at the Warriors defensively, that's typically where they've been killed, on the offensive glass. Rebounding metrics show them in the bottom tier of the league in terms of rebounding. It's also why they've probably had more success when they've gone super small, because then they can run a guy like Jonas Valanciunas off the floor. They don't have the bodies to keep him off the glass in the half court, so their best bet is going to be putting Draymond at the five and being like, let's just watch him huff and puff and not keep up, because that's the best we can do.
And that is correct. It seems like that will be the adjustment, though, with Steph. I may not be as concerned about it, but I still think with Draymond in there, y'all have a chance to win. But the other guy, and this will be our last question, is regarding Andrew Wiggins, a guy who has really stepped into his own with this Warriors team this year. Just what do you think has made him so successful? Is it the Steph impact, or what do you think has really emerged about his game that's made him a truly valuable player this year?
Defensive consistency. I was kind of difficult on the coaching staff for the Wiseman development, but where this coaching staff really excels is with players like Andrew Wiggins, guys who have, let's just say, developed a poor reputation in other situations. They have been really good at kind of getting those players on the right page. So I would actually say, I don't know that Wiggins has gotten better offensively as much as he gets a couple more open shots next to Steph Curry, and he has to force less shots. So he's just taking less of those, you know, fadeaway 18 footers that we associated with him in Minnesota. Right. But where the real change has been is his defensive energy has been there basically every night. We know the physical skills he has. I think he won't make an all defensive team, and he probably doesn't deserve to, but he's probably going to get honorable mention votes. And I think that's fair. He's been one of the dozen best wing defenders in the league, which is what he should be given his skill set. He's finally doing it on an every night basis, as opposed to what he was doing in Minnesota, which was, you know, maybe in a big game against Kawhi, he'd show it a few possessions so people would get enticed by his potential, but then that's it.
Yeah, it certainly has been fun to kind of see him emerge, you know, when it comes to his potential. But one thing I can tell you is this, Sam, is that, you know, in getting to listen to you and your shows with Light Years, it's been a pleasure, you know, getting your insights as well. I know that Memphis loves the Warriors with Steph, and they just love basketball in general. Where can folks find your work and any big things you may be working on as we head into the second half of the season?
Yeah, absolutely. So the easiest way to find me is just to follow me on Twitter. I will post anything I do, like including podcast appearances on Locked On Grizz on there. So at Sam Esfandiari, it's just my name, no spaces, no caps, doesn't matter. Other than that, subscribe to Light Years Podcast. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, any podcast player, and that's about it.
If you want to see one of the best jobs a host does at handling crazy takes, listen to the Light Years podcast. That's where Sam excels. So his name is Sam Esfandiari. Again, you can find him at his name on Twitter, Sam Esfandiari. Sam, if you'll stick with us for just a second until after the podcast, you can find me at Stance SAC, the show at Locked On Grizz, of course, the Light Years pod for the Warriors on Blue Wire. Make sure to check out all of Sam's great work. For Sam Esfandiari, my name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure. Go Grizz tonight. Should be fun against the Warriors the next two nights. And we'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.